All right, I think we could get started. I would like to thank all of you for joining the call. We believe the National Concrete Burial Wall Association is a vital association for our industry. We're the voice for our industry. We appreciate the support. And I'd like to now turn it over to Paul LeMasters. He's our legal counsel for the NCBVA. He's the one that wrote the article, the disinterment liabilities. Paul?
Yep.
It's all yours.
All right. Well, thanks. Good to be on the call today. Look forward to talking a little bit about disinterments. Show of hands, how many people have done a disinterment? I can't see you. I was curious if anybody would actually raise their hand. Just want to see if you're all paying attention. Let me start off, I guess, by I'll share a quick case just so you can kind of see kind of how crazy disinterments can go and some of the potential issues. It's an odd case, admittedly, how it started off. And it's, by the way, kind of how almost all cases start off, innocent mistakes or innocent corrections. Mom, who had passed away, was supposed to be buried next to her husband at the cemetery. When the and Vault Company was involved, and that's why I kind of picked this, when Vault Company came, they started to dig the grave. As they were digging the grave, they realized and found there was a vault already set in this particular spot. So they went back to the family, and the cemetery did, and said, hey, there's appears to be a burial already by your husband. They said it's impossible, and of course they said, well, we're going to have to do some investigation, figure it out. In the meantime, is it all right if we bury somewhere else? So that spot was dug, and then they were buried. She was buried a couple spaces over. So fast forward. During that time period now, they were trying to figure out, one, who was buried there, and then get permission so that they could take care of either moving or correcting or whatever they had to do. Well, here's the problem they quickly discovered. They had no idea who was buried there. And the problem was, in that state, to do a disinterment, you had to have not only the lot owner permission, which was this family, you also had to have permission from the legal next of kin. But they didn't know who it was. So they kind of searched, they did research, nobody could figure out who it was. Well, the problem then became nobody knew who was responsible, kind of what this is article was kind of about in general, who's in charge. So for the next 1 year, no one really did anything. The cemetery assumed that this was something the funeral home was doing, and the funeral home assumed it was something the cemetery was doing. Meanwhile, no one was really communicating with the family. The family, meanwhile, just sat and waited and waited. Finally, about after a year, and the family had left some messages, obviously, but again, everybody thought it was somebody else. They finally proceeded, and how they proceeded was they get the coroner, because nobody could authorize. They couldn't get a permit without a legal next of kin, but the coroner was allowed to actually authorize this disinterment. So, lo and behold, they do the disinterment. The Vault Company comes in. They remove the lid. Lo and behold, inside the vault is, by the way, this works a lot better with everybody in a crowd, net, so bear with me. Pause. Jimmy Hoffa. No, it wasn't Jimmy Hoffa. It was actually empty. So after a year-long wait, what had happened is they found an empty vault. Now, the story actually gets better from here, because at that point, of course, family's very upset, and they said, we want to do, you need to fix this. They said, of course, we will. So they finished digging the grave, made arrangements. Now, at this point in time, the family was adamant they were going to be there to watch. They didn't trust anybody. They didn't trust the funeral home, the cemetery. And again, Vault Company, you're just in the middle of this because you're just doing this process for everybody else. Well, here's what happens next. They finish. One thing I need to tell you about this vault that was opened, it was actually from the 40s. And the reason that it was an older vault, it was actually an old three-piece lid. And what we figure happened is that they probably dug the wrong grave space. And when they dug the wrong grave and they'd already put this vault in here, this old three-piece, they said, you know what, rather than pull it out, let's just cover it up and we'll use it when we have the next burial. Problem is, they didn't make notes. All right. Now, why is that important? Well, They finish digging that grave, and they pull the vault. They then redig the grave where she was buried and that vault. And then, of course, they put the straps on, they lift the vault, they swing it over, and then they go to lower it in to where she's supposed to be by her husband. However, in case anybody's curious, the vaults from 1940 aren't the same size as the vaults today. So the grave was too small. So at this point, mind you, the entire family watching and videoing the occurrence, they now have to continue to, they lift. The way they had set this up, the vault was on chains, and they were just kind of swinging her over. So now, as the family describes it, Mom was now swinging on chains while they jumped in a hole to try to dig the hole out to make it bigger. This takes about 2 hours because they're doing it by hand and there's rock. It's a mess. They finally get take care of it. Everything's done. Imagine this, the family end up filing a lawsuit and suing. Everybody gets named in a lawsuit, including the vault company, because they said it wasn't done properly and all that. So there's your case of how, I'll say, crazy a case can get and how bad it can go when everybody just has no idea who's in charge or what's going on. So as you're looking at a disinterment, and again, I'm going to try to focus on the vault company as much as I can as I talk through this article and some of the things, it's really knowing these basic principles. One of the biggest problems, especially for the vault company, is normally you are called to do the disinterment, yet you have no idea what's been done, who's in charge, what's been approved, not approved, and then have any sort of documentation for your own records. So step one, I'll give you five, is typically an investigation. On some level, you need to understand what's going on, why are you doing a disinterment? Why should you, the vault company, care or need to know? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, the big thing to understand about disinterments, courts don't like them. The standing in court is this: disinterments are not favored. There are old cases, and a lot of them, that say that once somebody's buried, they should never be removed. And it's a hurdle, a high hurdle or a threshold to allow a disinterment. If a family requests and goes through all the proper processes, then they can be approved. The problem is when the family isn't involved and they make a claim someday, that's not what we wanted, everybody who is involved in it's on the wrong side of the court already. I'll give you another quick example. I had this just happen a few weeks ago. Again, it was a really odd case. Again, they went to do a burial, vault was there. The funeral home suggested that they wait to do the burial. The family said, no, we want a burial, we'll fix it later. Well, they did, and this was at a church cemetery, so they do the burial. Well, the family gets very upset, even after this is done, says, how long before it's fixed? And, of course, the church said, well, we have to contact everybody. Well, they got a lawyer. The family did. As soon as they got a lawyer, the church said, wait, we can do it tomorrow. Call the vault company, the local guy who had set the vault, and said, come on over, and called the funeral home. And the state funeral home had to be present. A lot of states, that's a requirement. Well, the church was nowhere to be seen. Nobody had any idea who was involved. The one family was there. Well, the funeral home said, hey, do you have any paperwork? Have you signed anything? Where's the other family? They didn't know. Called the church. Church said, we've talked to everybody. Just go ahead and do it. They said, well, where are you? And they weren't even there. And the vault company. So what we found out in the more investigation, nobody had actually talked to any of the relatives. We had no authority. So everybody walked away. It made it uglier at the time, but since then, and this just happened a few weeks ago, it was cleaned up, corrected, and everything was fine. But it's part of that investigation. If you disinter without proper permission, you can be held responsible. So it's very important to know who's legally responsible, and to some extent, why it's going on. The second thing is the participation. Both the cases I've mentioned, family was there. This becomes an issue. I will be the first to tell you, in a perfect world, the disinterment is done privately. Nobody's there. They don't watch. And it saves us a lot of potential headaches and potential emotional damages. I've been witness to a couple very bad disinterments, and older ones where water was inside the vault, leaked out, where things broke, things you really don't want a family to see. The problem is this. Technically, if a family wants to be there, they're going to be allowed to be there. So the idea is it's better to know what you're facing than to just be surprised by it. So what you want to do is make sure, and we're going to talk about the form here in just a couple minutes, but in your form, it's one of the things you want to make sure you understand and know is there going to be anyone there? And, you know, are they going to be watching? Because for you, the vault company, especially if you're the ones doing the disinterment, you really need to make sure that you are aware of it. Because this leads to the next thing about the responsibility. A lot of times, especially, and again, I'm going to keep picking on the vault company, somebody tells a vault company, do this, and then that's it. You just do it. You need to understand that you have a lot of responsibility there. You're the ones that need to make sure there's a safe perimeter. If you don't want your people filmed or on camera, you have to tell them that, meaning you do have that right. So you could tell the family, you know, folks, I understand you're here. And if you see cameras come out, say, you know, my employees asked that they are not photographed or in any of these images. If you want to take photos of the actual process or the casket or vault, that's fine. You should coordinate that through the cemetery or the funeral home. That's how you can kind of protect yourself a little bit. But again, you're the safekeeper of that area. You could mark it off. You could have people that they can't get that close. Again, things that you can control. The other part of the responsibility, and I'm always amazed because I never see this in the disinterment forms, is who's responsible for the stuff. You know, when we do disinterment, there's a pretty high likelihood that the vault will not be able to be moved, or it'll be just broken, or the casket sometimes has to be replaced. And the idea is when it's all said and done, I can tell you, funeral home's not going to take some of this stuff back, and the cemetery probably won't. So a lot of times it's left to you. Well, do you want that responsibility? Also, if a vault has to be replaced, is it clear who's going to pay for that? These are all things that are good to know before the process starts. What I find that has happened is people start the process, the vault is broken or cracked or damaged or something, and then the vault company replaces it. And then the funeral home and cemetery said, well, we didn't even know that we would have to replace it. We're not going to pay. And then somebody gets end up probably stuck with a bill. Again, things that can be decided well in advance of anything ever happening. The fourth thing is communication. Again, it's being able to communicate. You need to be able to talk to the funeral home and the cemetery, and if need be, the family. Now, when it comes to the family, I'm not saying you have to call them ahead of time, but if they're there and they're witnessing, you do need to know, again, some of the things that we pointed out earlier, your responsibilities, safe areas, and you need to know that you have that access to talk to them. The other thing when it comes to communication, where I see people get caught, again, especially vault companies, is the timing. Typically, disinterments aren't something that just, you know, hey, can you do disinterment for us tomorrow? They have to be planned and timed. And a lot of times, a lot of times they almost wing it. Hey, today's a nice day. We're not too busy. We'll come do it. I suggest that you make sure the communication of when disinterment's going to happen be very specific, just like you would do a regular burial. We're going to be here on this day. This time, we're going to do it. If you want to put a caveat, if weather is bad, you know, reserve the right to reschedule. I'm fine with all that, but it should be in your authorization so that nobody's caught off guard, so nobody can say, you said you're coming, you didn't. And again, schedule these in a timely, you know, typical, whatever is best, but earlier is probably better and just to protect yourself, to make sure that there's no issues down the road. The fifth part of this is documentation. We're going to get into the authorization form, so I'm actually going to circle back to that. Let me do one last thing on process, and then we'll hit the form, because the documentation is the authorization form for disinterment, reinterment. The last part of this is training. Disinterments aren't the same as an interment, and there are other potential things that can happen and other equipment, and you need to make sure that you have a good process with your people on this training process, including everything we just talked about, but then also the technical process and what to do if things go wrong, have protocol, always make sure that you're covered with other people. I definitely wouldn't want to go in light-handed with any kind of disinterment, because, again, the disinterment's already bad enough. If something goes wrong at the site, especially if you're involved and you're handling it, it definitely could come back against you. So last part of this, and then we'll get into some questions, is the disinterment, reinterment authorization and release. If you don't have it, I know it's available. Download it. I'll point out a few things that you should have. And if you don't use this one, you're not going to break my heart. And if you want to use this as a template, that's fine. If you want to create your own, that's fine. Some of the things that I like to see in them is, first, is general information. Most disinterments typically protect the funeral home or the cemetery, and that's it. That's not good enough. You need to make sure that the vault company is listed in this release, and you should keep a copy of it. Because you have a different role in a disinterment, I would tell you should keep a record of every disinterment, casket and urn, that you ever involved in. Urns probably are less likely because of niches and all that, but if you do an earth burial disinterment of an urn, treat it the same and make sure you have documentation. The next thing in a form I'd like to see is the process. When is the disinterment going to take place? Where are we going to reinter? Are we going to have photographs of the casket condition, urn, or outer burial container? You can document all that. The reason for the disinterment, and it could be as simple as it's a family request. I'm fine with that, but I want to have a reason why. Because if the reason says cemetery mistake, you may want to ask some more questions. And, of course, cemetery might not like to write that. And I can maybe when we do questions, I can talk about kind of cemetery, quote, mistakes for disinterment. The other thing in the process is I want to know if anybody's going to be witnessing the actual disinterment process. Are they not going to witness, or are they going to send a representative to witness? And that could be either a family or it could be the funeral home. I want all those in there. And then there's a spot I like to have where we list the witnesses that are going to be there. And then, again, the last thing is this release. And in that release, again, I'm going to include not only the protection of, hey, we're not responsible, but also not responsible for the casket, not responsible for the vault. If they have to be recasket or reinterred, they allow the funeral home to, again, dispose of anything that needs to be disposed. All those things should be addressed right at the front end. And that is kind of the big, broad overview of disinterment. And I know we're about 15 minutes in, so at this point I'd like to just stop talking, and hopefully we have some questions. And if you need to ask a question, the first thing you have to do is hit **. That'll unmute your line. And, at this time, anybody that wants to ask questions, feel free.
Hi, Rob Hardy from Hardy Doric. How are you today?
Good.
Good. My question is, what is the importance of the reason why we're moving it and the witnesses? Because our release has the family fills it out, where it's coming from, where it's going, and it's notarized.
This is your sister. What do you think? You're just not going to answer me?
I was just curious what the and the reasoning why you feel that's important.
Because there's been too many cases where I can give you cases where somebody says it was a family said that it was to correct an error or whatever, and then to turn around and find out that actually it was one sibling who was doing it. There were actually other siblings who didn't know about it, and they were doing this basically to hide the body basically from the rest of the family without permission. So I think it's good to know at least a general reason, and especially we're starting to see a lot of odd reasons. So people are disinterring to do a cremation. That's an important thing to note because there is no, quote, reinterment at that point. Again, is that the most critical thing? No, but to me it's part of the due diligence because it leads to the next question of somebody asking. It's an easy way to find out to say, well, why do we need to tell you? So, well, we want to make sure that we're getting all the proper documentation. And, well, what kind of documentation? Well, and again, all your states are going to be different, but a lot of states, when you do disinterment, require a court order, especially if we're going to go to another cemetery. Well, so it's good to document, again, everything you can to protect yourself.
Well, in our release form, I insist that they be notarized, but I also insist that it's the lot owner, okay? So if the lot owner is hiring us to move from one section or one cemetery to another, I can't really get into the dynamics of why. Because let's say that they say, because I hate my sister. Well, if it's her lot and she has that power, I can't say to her, well, I can't do it because you hate your sister. You see what I'm saying?
Well, here's the thing, Rob. So here's the other thing. You're looking at this like you're going to talk to the family to get this release signed. You're not. This is going to end up being signed by the funeral home and the cemetery probably, or they're going to use it and have it signed. And maybe the family will sign it through them. So the idea is they're going to tell you the reason. So what they're going to say is the family requested us to do it, or we made a mistake and we're correcting it based on that. That's the reason. So you're not going to probably get into those things. But again, it's just the idea. And especially, look, here's the other thing too. This form is really for the funeral home, the cemetery, and you. Typically, and this is always the tough thing, I find a lot of cemeteries don't even have a disinterment release. So they rely on you to provide one. They're going to get this signed, not you. So for them, it's easy to document why they're doing it. And for this cemetery, for their files, I want them to be able to put in there why they did this. Because in 10 years or 20 years, if somebody steps up and says, why did you disinter my mom? I want to be able to look at a file and say, here's why. The sister requested it.
All right, I'll give you a scenario. A couple of weeks ago, cemetery buried numerous bodies in the wrong spots. It made the paper, the whole thing blew up. Now, I had all the families sign and notarize my release.
All right.
Okay, to cover myself and the company. What the cemeteries or the funeral homes, what they decide to do, isn't that their business, not mine?
Theoretically, if you're just covering everything, again, that's a very, I'll say, different situation because most vault companies aren't communicating directly with the family to do these things. A lot of times the vault company is being hired or brought into this by the funeral home or cemetery. If you're dealing directly with the consumer, in some ways, yeah, it's a little easier. Now, in some ways, you have potentially more liability because you're contracting directly with them.
Well, see, I won't work with the family directly. They have to go through a funeral home.
So go back to your scenario. You said that you had the families sign off on things directly.
Okay, buried in the wrong spot. Then the funeral homes contacted me, and the cemetery contacted me.
Yep.
About moving these folks. So I brought my release to the funeral homes, had the funeral homes deal with the family as far as having them signed and sealed and before I would move them. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So I don't deal with the families on these. If a family calls me direct and says, hey, I like to move mom and dad, da-da-da, I always say, what funeral home are you going through?
There
well,
you go.
Well, we use so-and-so. I said, then you need to speak to them because they need to pull the permits and things. You see what
right.
I'm saying? I can't do that. So
no,
I
you're fine. It
them.
Makes sense. And so, again, my thought is you know, your comment, do you need to worry about what they're doing or saying in theirs? Well, potentially, yeah, because you're in it with them. And that's the whole idea. So the reason this authorization, I try to put it out there, is because it's one form that protects all three of you. Because if you have one that protects you, and the funeral home has one that protects us, them, and the cemetery is one that protects them, yeah, everybody's individually protected, and maybe that works. The problem is there's conflicting language, like who's going to handle the casket or the vault or who's allowed to do what and all that. You guys may end up with a mess. Now, the family might not, but you guys, between the three of you, are. It's the communication thing we talked about. I want to know exactly what's going on. And if the funeral and cemetery are going to have their own releases, I'd probably want a copy of them to see if I'm mentioned. Or if, hey, they may have in there that says that we aren't responsible for anything. And if you're not worried about this, then that's fine. But what if it said something in there that any and all damages that happen are they going to be responsible to the vault company?
Yeah.
And you don't even know what it says. I'm very worried about that.
Yeah. You know what? I'll be honest with you. 2/3 of my customers would have no problem with that. 1/3 of them are going to push back. Oh,
understood.
You're telling us what we have to do, da, da, da. I'm just saying
nope.
We have those guys.
And then, you know, and look, nothing works with everybody. I understand it. And it's tough. The idea is, you know, look, you know, as we, the more we do in this profession, funeral home, cemetery, vault company, the more tied we are. And I get it. There's still some that want to live in their own world, and it's fine. And those are tough. And all you can do is offer it, but at least know what you're getting. But you're allowed to also say, look, somebody's got to sign mine. And you are getting one signed, so.
Okay, can we get copies of that so I can look it over?
Yeah, I think that was part of this, is that I know through NCBVA they'll make this form available.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, Paul. Craig Neal from Norwalk Vault Company. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. We and I'm putting my cemetery hat back on when I was at Catholic cemeteries, but we get what constitutes a disinterment? And what I mean by that is we get involved in situations where it's a pull and drop, or commonly referred to as a raise and lower, where we might be asked to strap up the vault that's in the existing grave, raise it so that the cemetery can take a few more scoops of dirt out and lower that vault, and then put a second vault on top because they want to, you know, there's a space issue and they need to get that fourth vault in a four-grave lot or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
Years ago, we were told by our corporate counsel that as long as the bottom of the vault did not break the plane of the grave, it was not a disinterment.
It's funny because I've heard so many different things about, like, what is or what does or doesn't. And you know, well, you know, I've heard people say you can move it 2 inches and that is not a disinterment. You can look, we could sit there and go through scenario after scenario where we'd be scratching our heads. So here's the general thing. First of all, when it comes to double depth or second interment, what I tell the cemetery, and I know this isn't you guys, I know it's not the vault, but I tell the cemetery, you should have it in your paperwork or your rules and regs that you have the right to adjust or to move a body or a casket or vault in case of a second interment. Because, look, this is also mausoleums, right? Sometimes a double interment, mom goes in first, but we don't really want mom in first. We want dad in first. And when dad dies, we have to pull one, put it in. Well, what I'm going to say and tell you is legally that is a disinterment. When you take the casket or vault out of the ground, that's a disinterment. Period. Now, again, there's all these gray areas because, well, we're moving it, we're doing this and all that. So if we're correcting or if it's in aid of another burial, things like that, you probably have more leeway. I'd love to see it in rules and regs. I'd like to see it in or the authorization form, anywhere that could help. The big issue is, you know, if you're doing that and something goes wrong, that's where you have to start thinking of these, I'll call it risk management. So imagine this, you're pulling that first vault, right? And you're moving it and something happens, straps break, it falls, it collapses. The problem is that then the family obviously gets upset, they file a lawsuit. Well, the first thing a good attorney is going to say is, wait, did you have permission to disinter? Well, it really wasn't a disinterment. Well, technically, by law, it's a disinterment. You pulled it out of the grave. So for cases like that, what I'd love to see is, and again, this is a cemetery, and this is you guys. You can tell them if they're doing it, is I would recommend that they at least put on that interment and say, you know, because we're doing a second interment, we may have to raise so we can dig a little deeper, do whatever. Do we have your permission? Absolutely, you do. Now you're covered.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. I'll give you a better example, and I've had this case. And, you know, vault company, this was a vault issue. So it's above ground setup, and then they put the lid on the vault. Everything's closed. Family leaves. Everybody leaves. Well, as soon as everybody leaves, the funeral director zips back around, and he goes, hey, before you do anything, you got to open it back up. I forgot to get the jewelry off. So you're all online. I wish I could get a show of hands. How many of you let the funeral director, do you open that vault back up, let him get into the casket and get the jewelry to return it? My guess, and especially if you're owners and managers, most of you will say, oh, I wouldn't do it. My guess is a lot of employees would probably say, eh, go ahead. Here's the problem. That is a disinterment. You've sealed. It's closed. You can't open it back up without permission. At minimum, you better make sure, because here's, let me tell you how the case plays out. You allow it. Funeral director takes the jewelry. He leaves. You're like, oh, well, that was a nice guy. I did that to help him fix. A year later, family finds out from somebody that the funeral director stole the jewelry that was supposed to actually stay with the deceased. And now all of a sudden, they come back and they say, why did you let him in? That was the vault. That's your property at the time. You had it closed. We saw it. Why did you open it back up? You see how south it can go? So now what do you do in those? Is it a disinterment? Technically, maybe, minimum. I probably want something. What I would love to have is something from the family saying, you know what, we allow you to open this back up to get the jewelry. Now, the funeral home is going to not want to do it because they've probably made a mistake. Then at a minimum, you and maybe the cemetery say, look, on your letterhead, you write that you have requested us to open it, sign it, and that you're going to hold us harmless. But those are the little things that happen and you're not ready for it. And it's the legal acts that can really catch up one day. Other questions?
Hey, Paul, it's Lisa Anderson with Wilbert Greenville. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, question about photographs. You said earlier that whether you photograph or not, is that something you recommend if you're doing a disinterment, to take photographs if no one is there, or to not take photographs?
If you're going to take, so let's break it up into two things. If family's there and they want to take photographs, you really can't stop them. Technically, it's their property. They purchased it. It's theirs. They can take photographs if they want. For you, and again, you can try to get your employees, let them know not to be in it and all that. Now, for you to take photographs, again, it's going to be a business decision. If you run into problems, it's something you may want to document. Again, you might want to get permission up front. And on mine, I know there's a spot where it says we will photograph, or we can photograph the process, just so people know. If you have a family that's on the fence of being there or not being there, sometimes the photographs, if you say, look, we'll take a couple photos so you can see, you can do it. You know, I know people are afraid of photographs, and I'll be the first to say they can be as good or as harmful either way. If somebody questions how something happens down the road and you don't have any photographs, it's your word against theirs. If you take photographs and you show that something was wrong, then that's bad. What I can tell you is in the world of lawsuits, for example, hospitals, they now film most surgeries. And the reason they do it is they have found that when they don't have any evidence of the actual process, they end up losing the lawsuit almost every time. But at least when they have some physical evidence, then they're protected. What I would probably say is, again, this is why we want to understand and know what we're doing for the disinterment and have as much as information as we can, because if we have a description of the casket or the vault that we're supposed to disinter beforehand, and then we do the process and it's different, that's a big red flag. I would probably take some photographs to document that to make sure we are protected.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Keith Halpin with Bailey Monument.
Yeah.
I have a question about the actual act of the disinterment.
Okay.
We know that a concrete box is not waterproof as opposed to a lined unit, and many times when we disinter them, that concrete box is full of water and structurally unstable.
Yep.
We will typically pop a hole in the bottom of the concrete box and drain the water out.
Okay.
Well, a lot of times, not only water comes, more than water comes out of that vault. Where should this be taking place? We do it in the grave, but I don't really know where we should be doing it.
Yeah, Dan, I don't have an answer for that. I would do it there. And again, you bring the great question. I've had a string of disinterments recently, and I had another one that was earlier this summer where they went to pool. Of course, it was a liner, and inside the liner was basically a cloth covered, and it only had been buried for probably 2 months, and it was already filled with water. They had to it was soup. I mean, the casket was completely destroyed. I mean, it was just everything. And I know they ran into a lot of issues transferring. And again, it gets in the thing, because now when you pop that hole, you have to replace that vault, that liner. At least I hope we do. And if we don't, then, you know, we're putting an inferior product. And if there's a problem later and it hasn't been disclosed, you know, that's the issue. And those are the things that you want to communicate up in the front. As far as your very procedural thing, where do you do it? You know, I don't know any other place that you could do it, because I don't know how, in a lot of those cases, how would you pull up a full vault filled with water and transport it anywhere to go anywhere else?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And possibly it's 50 years old.
Yeah.
And that's unsafe to put on a truck to drive down the road, the
Absolutely.
Bumpy road, because now you're going to have an entirely different problem.
So that's why, again, that disclosure up front and just communication that – to let them know that if it's a liner, you know there's a good chance it's going to be filled with water. It's a good chance you might have to put a hole in it and that it'll be replaced. And then the family knows that up front.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other questions?
Hi, this is Ed with Wilkes-Barre Burial Vault.
Yep.
I've had an agreement for a while. Sometimes you forget to use them, and you can get in trouble. But I do include in it telling the people that the vault may be damaged during the process or excavation, and that they have the option of replacing it or not, so that they can check one or the other. A lot of times, you know, when you get into a disinterment, you know, the costs just keep coming, and they really can't afford the add-ons. So
right.
I give them the option of using that. But one thing that we're forgetting here is that we have to with the warranties, we have to, I think we have 48 hours to call Wilbert or notify them that it will be disinterred. And there are other areas, like I did one for a court order, and it was a Monticello, and I told them right up front that they wanted some body tissue for some identification, they just said put the lid back on, and I wouldn't do it without them buying a new vault. And it went back and forth a little bit, but the lawyer finally okayed it. But I guess your point of communication,
yep,
is the foremost in this whole agreement. My foreman's arranging two in a cemetery right now because they're a foot too far down. And the family is very upset about that. So
wow.
I'm looking forward to coordinating off the area and having people taking pictures and sticking their nose in places that they shouldn't be. I do know that one is a warranted burial vault and the other one isn't. You know, now I don't look forward to this at all. But I don't want to say somebody has to do it because I'm going to do it. But there's no real bottom line to cover ourselves unless you get a nice big insurance policy. And that's the only way you can cover yourself.
Yeah, and it is tough. And you know, you said you have two coming up. The one thing I've noticed that over the last, I'll say just in the last 5 years, is a big uptick in disinterments. For a lot of different reasons, but I just see more and more of them. And, you know, I just, you know, it's not a new area of liability, but it is an area of liability. I mean, they can get bad. So, you know, the more you can communicate and understand and know what you're getting yourself into, the better. Back to what Rob said, why would we care or know what's in? I would much rather know that this is a family and there's, I'll say, a happy reason they're doing a disinterment, versus a family that's in the middle of potentially filing a lawsuit over something, and that's what I'm getting into. If I'm going to be doing it, I honestly really want to know what I'm stepping into.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, Paul, this is Allison Raymer at Emerson Monument and Vault.
Yes.
We are brand spanking new, and we've never done a disinterment. So
yay.
First of all, thank you for having this today. It's been extremely helpful. But second of all, someone else who asked a question a moment ago brought up something that made me curious. They said that when they bring the concrete box up, it's full of water and other quote-unquote materials.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming could potentially cause some environmental concerns. And so I'm curious if when we drain that out, if we need to have any environmental anything in place to avoid, you know, problems with groundwater or anything like that, sanitation, whatever.
Yeah, my short answer would be no. And the only reason I would say that is because, I mean, there's various studies out there on leaching in cemeteries. Because here's the thing, whether you disinter or not, a lot of times this is happening under the ground and you just don't see it. The only difference is if you do a disinterment, you're going to see it happening. It can happen a lot more. And so this is, I'll say, going on in cemeteries all the time. So I don't know that there's any environmental. I've never seen anybody ever require any permits or anything special. The issue where I would only see it could become an environmental, more of an OSHA, is if your people are removing the vault and also going to help remove the casket. At that point, you really want to be careful to make sure that you have protective equipment, things like that. Environmental, again, I'm not too worried about. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, formaldehyde and all that. Well, okay, technically it's not really formaldehyde anymore, because once you embalm a body, the formaldehyde reacts, so it's no longer actually formaldehyde. So, you know, the other thing is like, well, this liquid, you know, well, unfortunately, you know, what I can tell you in death care, and not just death care, but health care, all fluids like this, they just go into the natural sewage system of our world. So Again, probably not any environmental concerns that you have to worry about as far as permit, but if you're going to be in contact or have a chance, then it's personal protective equipment. You want to make sure your employees are protected.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Or I know we're a little over time, and I always like that these go a little bit longer because that means we've got people involved in listening. I know last time what we did, I know there's always a couple questions that maybe people are still thinking of, or maybe they don't want to just throw it out into the wide world arena of this call. So I know what we've done in the past is you can send those to NCBVA. I'll let them shout out an email of where those could go, but you could email any other questions. And last time we just waited a couple weeks and we can put together a little letter and any answers that should still be out there.
Hey, they can email it to info@ncbva.org.
I was hoping that it was that easy of an email. So info@ncbva.org.
Yes.
Perfect.
And Paul, again, if anybody has any questions still, they can hit ** to unmute themselves.
Yep. If you hit **, and we'll be glad to take some more questions. And then,
well,
no other questions.
All right. Well, Paul, I want to thank you very much for what you've done. It's been, I think, a very interesting and informative call that you've done for us. I hope the members are seeing what NCBVA is doing to try to show that, you know, the importance of us. And that was a great article and I believe a great phone call. They can also go back, and this will be on our website. They can go back and listen to it or have the employees listen to it. We're going to keep moving forward with other articles that Paul will put forward with us. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And for everybody on the call too, you know, the one thing I've said a few times and I want to reemphasize, if there are topics you want discussed or covered in an article, send that to info@ncbva.org as well.